All right. How many of you ready for Mr. Tom Ziegler? All right. Listen, I tell you what. Every time you hear from Mr. Tom Ziegler, you're going to get something that's better than phenomenal. So I make sure that everybody gets settled here. Let me have a couple of takeaways from the conference. What's your biggest takeaway from yesterday? Come on, talk to me. Mr. Bruce.
We focus, and I think I said this yesterday, but we focus so much on the experience of our clients, and sometimes we forget about what is the experience that we're giving to our internal customers. And so I'm even wanting to speak to people about how we can integrate a little bit more of that in what we do. So I thought that was my biggest wow moment yesterday.
Beautiful, beautiful. And by the way, if you want to get that Dream Team training, yeah, give it up for my man, baby Bruce. Hey, you can call him that. Okay, so the thing is, if you want to get that Dream Team training with Santiago and you want to give that to a major client or do it with a referral source or something like that, that's cool too. Or if you have students. Okay, someone else, biggest takeaway from yesterday? Yes, sir. Okay, Chris.
I was just touched and inspired by the testimonials that we had.
Yeah. I mean, how cool was that, right? Phenomenal. All right. Give it up for Chris, man. Hey, when somebody shares, you got to show them the love. Okay, Sherry Perry.
I'm touched by the staff. Just always thinking about how to make it a better community experience and all the hard work that goes on behind the event. And they just smile and make it look easy. It's pretty amazing, and that's a big takeaway for me. Excellent.
Pop them now. Machine guns going off. All right. Well, I tell you what. I could have never imagined that when I invited Zig Ziglar to come speak on this stage, that all of what has happened would take place. In fact, I don't tell this story very often, but, you know, I met Zig the first time at one of those big events, right? And I asked Brian Flanagan, how do I build a relationship with Ziegler? And he said, well, you become a distributor of their products. And so every time I went to Dallas, I was like, man, I got to call on Ziegler, right? And I kept FTI-ing. And one morning I was out here on this road right here. It's 8:30 in the morning. I'm about to fly over to Dallas out of Hobby, and I remembered Ziegler's in Dallas. So I pick up the phone, I call Ziegler, and I got Michael McGowan. And he said, well, you need to talk to Margaret. So I leave a voicemail for Margaret, go to Dallas, do my presentation. And I get a voicemail. It's a Friday, and the only time I can meet her is in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. The only time she can meet is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, boom, I get a ride down to Ziegler, and I pull up to this building. Now, back then, they were in this big high-rise building, right? And I walk in the lobby. I'm like, I'm going to probably run into Zig Ziegler around here somewhere, right? And I'm like, I didn't even know what Tom looked like. And I was like, that's probably him right there. Yeah, that's him. That's him right there. So then I go in the office, and I meet with Margaret, and she tells me about something that they're doing for the military, and it just really touched my heart, and tears started rolling down my face. What they were doing is, you know, their Ziegler vault that they have, they were giving away, with every subscription that anybody bought, they were giving 15 away to someone who was in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. And I'm just thinking about this guy driving around in a tank in the desert, listening to Zig Ziglar on the earbuds. And I was just like, wow, that is so cool. So, I mean, tears start flowing down my face. And Margaret looks at me. She said, you know, you need to meet Tom. He's a crier, too. That's not what she said. She said, I think you guys would really hit it off. And from the very first moment, we were just instant, you know, brothers, and it's just been an incredible, better than phenomenal journey. And Tom has a little video for you to watch real quick before you come up. No. Welcome up the proud son of Zig Ziglar, Mr. Tom Ziglar, CEO of Ziglar Incorporated.
Appreciate you. All right. You guys are awesome. Yes, you are. I'm loving less of Howard more and more every day. Yes? All right, you guys excited to be here?
You can't fail.
Yeah, has it been good? Been fantastic? Been awesome? Well, I'm excited because we are going to debut a video. Now, this video, what I was trying to think, what could we put together, a concept, an idea that everybody would be united behind, something that everybody would go, that's a worthy goal or objective, I want that. What could that be? A universal thing that everyone in this room would want to achieve in their life so that they could pass it on. So I want you to be thinking about that. So Jonathan, if you would dim those lights, and as soon as this goes down, let's watch this video. You like that? Yeah. We'll give Andy a big round of applause for creating that. It's legacy, isn't it?
Yes.
John, it's like you stole my notes yesterday.
I was just saying it. Like, what? Huh?
And so before we start what the learning session is, we need to start with the why. And I think the why is legacy. I think it's the thing that when we go to sleep at night and we pray, it's the thing that's on our heart. How can we make a path for the generations that come, a true path, a right path, a path that leads to the right results? Because we're not hearing it today, are we? Everywhere we go, there's false direction, false teaching. And this picture of Dad, how many of you have seen this picture before? Yeah. This, to me, describes somebody in the fulfillment of their purpose. Look at his face right there. I don't know if he's just finished speaking or he's about to go up and speak. Doesn't matter, right? Because he's living in the fullness of his purpose. He knows that he was put here for a reason, designed for accomplishment, that God created him for a reason. And then he invested everything in his being to fulfill that purpose. And the way it manifested itself out in the public was speaking. You know, his books, his audio programs, all the things that he did. At home, it was the example that he set, the life that he led. And so the story of this tie, of course, you're looking at the tie right now. The story of this tie is real simple. I had started speaking, and I was just getting out there on the road and doing more things, and Dad's health had declined, and I was over at Mom and Dad's. Dad was no longer traveling. We're sitting there on the couch. We're just talking like families do, and Mom looks at me, and she says, "Son, your dad and I have something for you." And I didn't know what it was. She gets up. She goes into the back bedroom. She grabs a box, comes out, hands me the box, I open it up, and there are Dad's ties. And she says, "Your dad and I have been talking. Since you're out speaking, every time you speak, we want you to wear one of his ties." And it was like that mantle had been just... right? It was this awesome, unreal experience because it was the verbalization and the realization that Dad and everything he'd done and the things that, you know, the people he'd reached and everything, that time was coming to the close. He was no longer able to do that. But the message was worthy of carrying on. And so I looked at that tie and I held that tie and it changed me. I mean, in that very moment, it changed. And every single one of us in this room, we have what I call legacy moments cross our paths every day. Whether it's with our kids, our team members, the people that we love. And the question is, are we looking out for it? Are we there ready to not only pass something on to someone, whether it's advice or encouragement or some wisdom, or to literally look them in the eye, tap them on the shoulder, put your arms around them, and say, you have what it takes. You're ready. That's what it felt like. And did I grow into it that point right there? No. Am I all the way in it yet? I hope not. Why do I say I hope not? That's right. So what are the legacy moments in your life? Are you on the lookout for them? Here's the second picture. I love that picture. We could all be so lucky as to have a picture like this in our life. For those of you who lost a parent early, I don't even know how to relate. But the reality is that there's going to be a transition. Dad used to say this, you know, our children are the hope for the future, but we are our children's hope. If we're a business owner, it's the same thing. The people on our team, we're their hope for the future. What we do, what we breathe into them. So I started studying this picture because it's on my wall. Andy Andrews actually talked me into getting this picture made because he saw Dad and I walking out of a restaurant with holding hands. And he came back to the studio, we were doing a filming, and he was crying. He said, Tom, do you know what happened? I go, no, I'm just being a son. He goes, you were holding your dad's hand out of the restaurant. And I said, yeah. He said, why were you doing that? And I said, well, I don't know. Let me think about it. Now I know it was for two reasons. Dad needed the help because he was unstable. And I needed to hold his hand because I knew he wasn't going to be around much longer. God, we don't know how long each other's going to be around. Why not just hold hands now? So I go home and, you know, this picture comes and I'm thinking about the picture and I look at it and I go, you know, my whole life Dad held hands. My whole life. When I was a little boy, he'd hold my hand. We'd have family events at the house. He'd be sitting in his command chair. Right? Mom and the sisters are running around, you know, nieces going around, and one of the girls would walk by and Dad would hold his hand out like this, and my sister or my mom would put their hands in his and lean over and give him a kiss. I mean, and Mom and Dad, they held hands so much it was embarrassing. I mean, everywhere I went, from the time I was, you know, I could remember, all in church, it didn't matter. They were holding hands. And then I thought, how did he become the man that held hands? Because you don't see that, do you? I mean, today when we see people holding hands, a lot of times it's like, what? Right? How did he become the man that held hands? Because some of you may not know this. His father died when he was 5. Dad did not have a role model that held his hands. Not a father. So how did he become the man that held hands? It was a choice. You see, one day he decided that he was going to become the best father and the best husband that he could be. He made a decision. That's what I want. And out of that choice, he determined that he was going to learn as much as he could about being the best father and the best husband. And he read hundreds and hundreds of books on parenting and on being the right kind of husband, on a family. And he spent thousands of hours in God's Word. When you put that much good stuff in, that pictures what happens. He didn't have to think about holding hands. It was who he was. So when we think about legacy, here's the cool thing about legacy. We can make the choice. Legacy is a choice. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you our Live to Win program. Because our Live to Win concept is the specific steps on how to make legacy a choice. Does that sound good? So what do you think about that little piece there? I mean, it's like first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock, boom! What do you think? Feedback on that. I'm just curious. I'm glad you asked, John. I've been searching for that universal thing. You know, what's the one thing that we could all get behind? What's the thing that would inspire us to do a little bit extra every day? Somebody yesterday, I think it was Susan or Elise asked me, Elise. She said, what is the termite way? How many of y'all saw that on the little flyer? Are y'all curious? Yeah. So Dad had this quote. He said, you know, hurricanes and tornadoes get all the publicity, but termites do more damage. And they take such little bitty bites. I think that might be the most encouraging thing that I've ever heard. Right? Legacy, success, significance, all the things that we want to go after are just a combination of a bunch of little bitty bites. Make sense? And so John and some others were commenting, and somebody said, well, what's this? What is Ziegler legacy? Right, because you saw the logo, and how many of y'all have noticed this pin that we have? If you're a certified trainer, would you guys stand up? A Ziegler Legacy certified trainer? All right. Yes, I think these folks. Yeah. And Carl was already standing up, but he's also in there. So, a certified Ziegler Legacy trainer, what we do is we equip our trainers to go out and teach the Ziegler philosophy, the Ziegler programs, the legendary courses that we have. And all of these courses are designed with one thing in mind, and that is to move somebody from survival to significance. The world is all about success. The problem is they don't know what the definition of success is. Charlie Sheen, for example. I mean, does he know what winning is? No. And so we're about that. And so our certified trainers, what we do is they come through a 5-day school, a certification course. We teach them, we equip them, and they go out. Now here's the power of it, is they combine their life story, their experiences. Because the reality is if we're going to make a difference in the world, we've got to start within our community. We've got to start with our family. It can be very discouraging to look at things on the global scale. And we think of climate change and, you know, pollution and population and war and all the things we have no control over. If your worldview starts from the outside in, no way. If you start from the inside out, I'm going to become the best person I can become. I'm going to create a legacy for my family. I'm going to equip them to equip the next generation. Those I work with, I'm going to pour everything I have into them. my community, my church, wherever I am, I'm going to go to that level. When we work from the inside out, everything changes. And by the way, that's a worldview. Okay? If you look at a liberal progressive worldview, it's outside in. If you look at a Judeo-Christian conservative worldview, it's inside out. Who has the answer? Well, on one hand, it's the government. On the other hand, it's the individual. So it's very, very basic, foundational in that process. So we created the legacy certification to equip people to create a legacy starting from the inside out, and then the materials that you could go out and teach. And if you are interested in the legacy certification, I'd be happy to talk with you. Any of our certified trainers here, they're the best ones to ask because they're the ones who sat in your seat. But what I want to do now is I want to share with you what I call Live to Win, 7 weeks to Balance Success. It's the termite way. It's the inside out way, because we've got to start with ourselves. We've got to become the right kind of person first in order to impact others. Sound good? Now, you have a handout there. It's one page. It's pretty cool. So infographics are all the rage. Now, here's a tip for business owners. If you can take whatever value that you offer and put it into an infographic and make it a download and, you know, an opt-in, you are much more likely to get takers on it than you are white papers and videos and all other things, because people are so information overloaded now that if they can get it in one sheet, they're much more excited about it, especially if you do education along with it. All right, so Live to Win, 7 weeks to Balance Success. We're going to go through this, and I want to make this session interactive. So if you have questions, raise your hand. Now, how many of you are in the Live to Win program? Would you all stand up? Because I want to find out where the prospects are, because you're sold. Awesome, thank you so much. Round of applause for you guys. If you're in the program, would somebody like to share a testimonial? Because we've had some pretty amazing things happen. John.
Yeah, absolutely. I left last conference, signed up, left last conference with a plan to... I'm 53, and I'm like, gee, I'm not going to live forever. I got to start doing some of this stuff that I keep telling myself I'm going to do. So I started. So I'm taking my ground school right now. I plan on starting flying on a 2-week immersion, 2 flights a day program, either July or August. Hired another part-time person to come on board typically so I have the staff so I can go fly for 2 weeks and have the business covered when I want. So I get up at 5 in the morning to study the ground school, because where else are you going to fit it? So I've really... started doing some stuff. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we actually had a whole session on... Thanks. We did a whole session with John on we did goal setting, and at the end we did his goal. And his goal was flight school. So, Sylvie.
For me, Live to Win is part of the dream recovery, because I started the day of my birthday, 9 November, and when I started, I think that program came for me as God was there for me, because that same time I had congestion heart failure and I was hospitalized and I was very not in very good shape, and I had water in my lungs, and so it was not going too good, and I planned a trip for Italy. That was my dream. So I started the Live to Win, even if I was like from my bed, and I started to lose weight, and I've lost up to now 48 pounds.
Wow.
Because the thing is, I have a device that helps me, my heart pump. Without it, I cannot live. And in December, they put a new machine, they put new leads, so that my heart stopped pumping again. It's great Christmas time. Then I work and I lift her up, and my knee, that is my savior, just was dislodged. So in February, I have another surgery, but I'm going to the program, they lift to win every week, and I'm cheerful. And finally, I went to Italy. I walked like I could never walk in the past 7 years. I'm going with the help of all the group and the lift to win, lose another 50 pounds. And I saw my doctor, my cardiologist, a specialist, about 3 weeks ago, and she said, "You're a miracle." And she said to me, "You're alive," because she couldn't promise me how many years I would live, maybe 3 years, maybe 4 years, it's been 7 years. And I intend to live another 30 years. And because of this program, because of the sport, because of the discipline, because it's not easy when you're sick. It's not easy to lose weight, particularly if you're older, you're sick, you cannot go to the gym because it's not good for your heart. So a Live to Win is just like an incredible. It's not only the group, the discipline, but it's a blessed movement.
All right. Yeah. We meet every week, and Sylvia and Dan are almost on every week unless they're around the world somewhere. So, right? We appreciate you guys. So let's get into it. And it really is the termite way. And we meet every week because what we need is we need accountability. We need reinforcement. We need inspiration, all the things that you get in the inner circle. The Live to Win program is specifically around personal development. It's about becoming the best individual that you can be. So we're going to do a building slide. You actually have the finished one. And so feel free to write in notes on that handout that you have in front of you. I love it because I like things that are just easy to just fit into my brain, right? Just one page. Keep this page with you. It'll give you an idea of where to go. So Live to Win, 7 weeks to balance success. In the bottom left-hand corner there, where do we start the process? We got to start with the why, the dreams, the goals, the aspiration. And that's where that idea of legacy came from. Because ultimately, when we think of all of our whys, the purposes that we have in life, the thing that's the umbrella over that is legacy. I mean, why would anybody want to spend a lot of time, energy, and effort doing something that doesn't have ripples through eternity? I mean, think about it. Ripples through eternity. That's a cool, cool thing. I talk to people every day, and they will tell me, "Oh, you know, I listened to your dad in 1994, and this is what happened." Anybody have a story like that? Yeah. You know what's cool? When I say, "How'd you find out about Dad?" "Oh, my boss introduced me to him." See, when I get to heaven, I want to know the person who impacted the person who impacted the person that impacted Billy Graham. We can create a ripple. We can create a legacy in so many different ways. It doesn't have to be from the stage, right? It can be from so many different ways. And why do we want to do that? Why do we want to have a clearly defined why? Because our goal is significance. Y'all agree? How many have you written down your why, your purpose? How many are going to write down your why before Monday? It is the most powerful thing to know your why. And here's even something that's cooler. As you write it down, as good as you can right now, and you go after it, it gets bigger. I mean, Jeremy's story yesterday, you know, they did 60,000, and they thought, "Oh, you know, we'll just do a crazy goal of 100,000. And then before they knew it, it was, what, 200,000 when they left? When you write down your why, the reason you're here, your purpose, the things that you want to accomplish around that legacy umbrella, underneath that, it just gets bigger. And it's because we're going after significance. So how do we get after significance? Well, we have to go through this process. So let me explain the process. We're all on this journey together. From survival to stability, from stability to success, and from success to significance. And I want to share the process with you because you're going to meet people all the time who are in different stages of this process. So what is survival mode? What do you guys think survival mode is?
Trying to pay the rent.
Trying to pay the rent. What else?
Paycheck to paycheck.
Paycheck to paycheck. What else?
Getting by.
Eating ramen noodles. So why do you think people are in that mode? Why are they living paycheck to paycheck?
Without vision.
No vision. What else?
They don't know any better.
They don't know any better. Nobody's ever told them, hey, you can have steak. Or even better than that, you're worthy of steak. What else?
The marketing, the negative legacy that went before them, they've just bought into all of that crap.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, in all honesty, it's circumstances. You know.
Absolutely. There are medical conditions. There are the reality that life is unfair. It's cruel. There's all kinds of reasons. When I think of survival mode, I think of people who are perpetually in a place that they're unequipped to get out of because of the information they've taken in and they believe. We're launching a new program called Generation Z, Gen Z. And did you know that the below millennials, it's Generation Z? Yes, it's actually the official name for it. I mean, they're naming stuff after us all the time now. Generation Z. So what it is, it's a Ziegler Legacy certification. Yes, we do.
Whenever it goes anywhere, it's, hey, that's my trademark.
Is Scott Reeb, has he left? So we've started a Ziegler Legacy certification for youth, 16 to 25. Because who better to reach youth than youth? So we're looking for young leaders. They're going to get a smaller version of our Ziegler Legacy certification. Two of our certified trainers are actually building this, Matt Rush and James McLam. And so what is survival mode? Survival mode to me is defined by this. You don't know who you want to be. You haven't claimed the character qualities yet. You're like a pinball in a pinball machine. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, I think you would do good in this job. You're like, okay, right? Because you have not defined who you are. Benjamin Franklin, when he was 20 years old, I mean, think of this, 20 years old, this is a genius move. And he was a genius. He looked at his life and he said, you know what? I'm not real happy with who I am. I wonder what character qualities and virtues I should develop in myself to become the person I know I can become. Imagine, go back in time to when you were 20. How old are you?
19.
Yeah, you can. You went through the list of character qualities. This is what Franklin did. And he picked 13 virtues. And the reason he picked 13 is he could work on each one for 4 weeks. And every year for the rest of his life, he did a 4-week study on one of the virtues. So what are the character qualities that you want your life to be known for? honesty, integrity, character, loyalty, love, compassion, trust, there's so many, discipline. So what can you do to build that? Now, when you determine the type of person you want to become and you start working on those qualities, that moves you into stability. Right? Because now somebody says, hey, do you want to do this? You're like, you test against who you are. Oh, no, I don't go to bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's not who I am. Right? You start making choices that lead to good results. How do you move from stability to success? This is where you start putting into practice what you've learned. You start learning additional knowledge on top of it. Maybe it's professional knowledge, skills, techniques that help you in your business or in your life. Maybe it's not only having discipline when you study, but taking a class on how to study. Because college isn't easy. School isn't easy. Whatever career you're in, you're getting more education. And you move from success to significance. This is the cool part. When you help others put in a plan to become the person they want to become. And it doesn't matter what chair you're sitting in, you can do it from that chair. Simple as that. We have the privilege of working with wounded warriors, and we had a few in our class, and we were talking about this process from survival to significance. And the men that were in the room, one of them was from Colombia, one was from Puerto Rico, and one was from Dominican Republic. And they had joined the military to get an education, to get a leg up, very poor circumstances. This was their ticket out. You know who I'm talking about? And their whole image of themselves was wrapped up in what they were doing. This is my career path. This is my rank. This is who I am. This is where I'm going next. And it's allowing me to have these things over here. Respect. A little bit more money. A future. A retirement. All these things. Because these are guys with a career. And then they got hit by an IED. Boom. Gone. What you do and what you have can be taken from you in a heartbeat. Who you are can only be surrendered. Know who you are. And I think that's a challenge in today's society, is people do not know who they are. And if that's not a challenge, here's the bigger challenge. They don't know whose they are. So that's the journey we're on. How do we get there? Well, we're starting at why again. Now, when we start painting a picture, a vision for who we want to become and the legacy that we want to leave, man, that's exciting. And I say, make a movie of it in your mind. This is what it's going to look like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Make that movie. Well, we go through a process. You see, when you have a vision and a why and you know significance is your goal and you start putting in the plans to go from where you are to where you want to be, that creates hope. Without hope, we don't do anything. I was crying when Jeremy was talking. And the reason was, he was telling everybody, if I can, you can. But let me tell you an underlying secret behind that statement, if I can, you can. If I can, you can. As long as you do what I did. For some reason, we miss this connection between there's work involved. Right? There's work. There's dedication. There's discipline. There's a top-level consultant, and when he gets invited in to do corporate training and development and process and strategy, like our late president used to say, I love the word strategery. I don't know. It just pops out. He will come into, this consultant will come into a business. Now, the only reason he gets called in, is because there's a big challenge going on. There's a problem. Right? Companies that are just blowing and going, it's unusual that they'll bring in a consultant. It's usually the crisis that brings people in. So they bring this guy in, and he sits down with the whole group. This is the team, the leadership group, that whatever organization, part of the company that they know is going to solve this problem. And if he has one day with them, he spends the first half of the day talking about everything they're doing right. You only got a day to change this thing. Why are you spending half of it talking about things they're already doing right? Why do you think that is? It's the way the brain works. You see, if we're frustrated, angry, upset, if things aren't working, we get in a negative mindset. And so what happens is we start having only two responses to what's going on. And for those of you who are in martial arts and understand what happens, when you get hit, there's two things that happen, right? It's fight or flight, unless you're trained. And so when we're in a negative mindset, our brain is shut off to all the possibilities. It's either I'm going to keep harder trying it, getting the same old results, or I'm just going to throw in the towel. But when you change the mindset, hope does that, then creativity is launched. So hope spawns optimism, and optimism unleashes creativity. In your organization, in your own personal life, if you ever feel stuck, what you've got to have is a major dose of hope and optimism. Because when you unleash optimism, and then the second half of the day is, hey, what can we do? What can we do? All the ideas start popping up. And instead of your brain picking between run or fight, your brain now sees 100 doors. And you can start putting these doors up on the wall. Well, which one's going to work? We tried that. What about this? Oh, we didn't do it this way. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's put it over here. And then out of that response, we see possibilities. And look at the top level there. Habits. Write this down. Habits are systems for your personal life. And systems are habits for your business. You're in the best place in the world to learn about systems at this conference. Habits are simply systems for your personal life, and systems are habits for your business. What I'm saying is habits and systems are like close cousins. On the Ziegler Show podcast, we recently interviewed Dina Dwyer. She owns the Dwyer Group. They're going to do over $1 billion collective business. They have a bunch of franchise organizations. They made values in their organization a system. Every meeting they have with more than two people in the meeting, they recite their company values before they start. That's powerful, isn't it? Their vendors come in, the employees, they recite it together. Oh, this is who we are. Call us on it if we don't do it. They made their values a system. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But we all agree we should make values a habit. So that's how we got to make that, you know, we start with the why. We create hope, which unleashes and creates optimism, which spawns creativity, which allows us to take the new ideas and put it into our system in our business and a habit in our personal life. So where do we start? So there's 7 weeks to balance success. The reason we call it 7 weeks to balance success is we work on 7 areas of our life. So we're going to climb the stairs here. The first one is our mental. Now, in our mental side, this is our mindset. This is the way we view the world. This is the way we make decisions. So I was thinking, you know, what is the number one of all the habits that we could do? What's the number one thing that we could do in our life? I just sent out how many of you are on our Ziegler email list? If you're not on it, just go to Ziegler.com and get our newsletter. It's free. I've been writing an email a day. That's a lot. And I call them significance emails. Don't you like that? Significance? You guys own your own businesses. You can make up words too. It's unbelievable. Yes. And so I've been asking our readers, what's your mission or what's the number one lesson in life you learned? So I want you to think just for a second, what's the number one lesson in life you learned, or what's the number one thing that you could do in your own life that would change everything? Anybody want to shout something out? Yes.
Choose what you put into your mind.
It's like I know you. Anybody else? Yes.
Focus.
Awesome. Love it. Anybody else? Yes.
Never quit.
What else?
Don't settle.
Okay. Here's what I think is you never settle, you never quit, and you're always focused on putting the right thing into your mind. That sound good? Yes.
Do what you know, not what you feel, a.k.a. discipline.
Discipline. Yes. Discipline. Gotta learn something. So I really debated, you know, which one of these steps of the stairway, physical, mental, spiritual, all of them, which one of them should come first? And the reason I settled on the mental is because of the first answer that came up, is that if we put the right things in our mind, everything else changes. That's right. Now in Hebrew, does anybody here speak Hebrew? I could make the rest of this up now. Now in Hebrew there are words, and the words have letters, and the letters have numbers, and they have high moral and low moral representations. So it's a very meaningful language. And there's a word for the body, which is the liver, the heart, which is kind of emotion, and the brain, which is your thought, right? So we have physical needs, we have emotional needs, and we have brain decisions. And we always make our decisions in life brain first, heart second, physical third. When you make decisions from the body first, then the emotion, then the brain, in Hebrew, if you take those three words and you take the first letter of each one of those words, body, heart, brain, physical, emotional, mental, they spell a word that means disaster or calamity. That's interesting, isn't it? That's why discipline is so key to all this. So I settled on, we have to have mental first, because if we choose, if we have the discipline to take in the right information and we start believing the right information, I believe in our world, it's like we're like this giant wound. I mean, we get wounded wherever we go. We turn on the news, we get wounded. We stand in line at the grocery store and we hear a conversation, we get wounded, right? We look over at the magazine rack in the grocery store and we get wounded again. Because all this negative information, things that aren't pure and right, are there. So if you have an accident on a bike and you get road rash and all that gravel is underneath your skin and that dirt, You don't put a Band-Aid on it and move on, do you? No, you go in and you get that sucker washed out and it hurts and you put ointment on it and you do all that stuff to it. Our brain is the same way. We take in all this information that's negative, that's dragging us down constantly, and we can't get one dose and be done. We've got to have like a constant washing out of that bad information, replacing it with the right information. So for mental, what you feed your mind determines your appetite. That's the key. What you put in is going to determine what you want. Now, I have fun with this. I have different illustrations. My favorite one is the... How many of you have ever had a 17-year-old daughter at some point, or you will, right? Or maybe you're an aunt or an uncle of a 17-year-old daughter, and you know what I'm talking about. So that 17-year-old daughter, the princess, the light of your life, is upstairs getting ready for a date. And her 19-year-old hairy-legged boyfriend drives up in his Transmero in front of the house. Y'all know what a Transmero is? It's half Trans Am, half Camaro. Okay? And the music is loud, and for 45 minutes before he comes in, he's looking at porn on his smartphone. Are you okay with that? Shh. That's why we're well armed at the Ziegler house. So anybody who says, oh, you know, that doesn't matter, think of that illustration. Oh, yeah, it does. It's life and death. No, it is. Shh. That's right. So what's the second step? The second step is spiritual. Now, if you were to argue with me, I think spiritual should come first, we would both win. Because I believe what you put into your mind first are the spiritual things. And so it's a chicken and egg. Which one comes first? So I define spiritual as not physical, because I read Noah's 1828 Webster Dictionary, the one that Dad liked, back when the definitions were real. And the spiritual has to do with all the qualities that we have. And so the second thing that we want to work on in this stairway is we want to focus on putting the right things into our mind. What are the right things? It's God's truth. Now, Ivy Leagues. Anybody here graduate from Ivy League? Anybody? Okay, you'll understand this then. I spoke at Harvard on Dad's business principles, and I was doing one of my better talks, and nobody was laughing because we have all these academics in the room, and they're taking the serious approach. So none of the jokes came across. Only one came across. I said, as part of our process, we had Dad's writing evaluated and analyzed, and it was discovered that he wrote at the 7th grade, 3rd month level. And you know there's a reason why he wrote at that level. Do you want to know it? And of course they're like, yeah, because this is research. I said, well, Dad said it was so that even college professors could understand it. So they laughed at that one. So when we talk about the spiritual, Harvard actually did a study that validated this. They did the 75-year Harvard Grant Study. Some of you have heard about this study, but for 75 years, starting with the sophomore class, I think 77 years ago, they followed these people every single year for 75 years. Think about it, 4 generations of people. They also, in this study, included young men from the Boston Tenement Housing Projects of that time. 700 people in this study. It was to be a lifetime study of, you know, what are these people going to do? So you had the elite starting off with millions who ended up with nothing. You had people out of that tenement housing program who who had nothing and they became very successful. They did medical evaluations, emotional profiles, career histories, everything, personality style, everything for 75 years. Every year they would meet with them. At the 75th anniversary, they said, you know what? Only 10% are still alive, right? Because they're all in their 90s now. Let's go interview them and ask them if they're happy and satisfied with their life. So they did. The ones who said yes, they said, what does that mean? And one of the researchers said, you know what? Why don't we go back 25 years into the data and see what they were doing 25 years ago that would lead them to being happy and satisfied in their life today? Do y'all want to know what the answer was?
Yeah.
They all believed, they all had the same focus. Everybody in their 90s who they had all this data on who said they were happy and satisfied with their life, their number one focus 25 years before, relationships. It wasn't money. It wasn't fame. It wasn't power. It wasn't, oh boy, I got to take off and retire now. It was relationships. They made that number one. So then I started thinking, what makes relationships? How about this? Can you have a relationship without trust? No. Where does trust come from? Character, integrity. Same, very similar. Think about it. If you don't have integrity, you cannot, you know, be an example of trust. Trust is not coming out of you. If you're a person lacking in integrity, eventually every one of your relationships is going to break down because your true self is going to come through. When the pressure comes, that's when everybody's going to go, whoa, wait a second. Can't get close to that man, that woman. So trust is a byproduct of integrity. Integrity creates trust. Where does integrity come from? Any guys? What?
Habits?
Training? Values? Truth. Integrity comes from truth. Truth cannot contradict itself. When people say, oh, there's, you know, your truth is okay for you and my truth is okay for me. You know, maybe on whether you like vanilla or chocolate ice cream, that's true. But when it comes down to truth, there can only be one. Because truth, by definition, cannot contradict itself. So where does truth come from? God. God's word. Truth comes from the author of truth. So here's something cool. What's the most powerful way to receive truth? Biblical self-talk. The most powerful conversation you will have with yourself all day is the one that you have with yourself. I said that a little wrong. I kind of ruined the punchline. The most important conversation you'll have all day is the one you have with yourself. So here's what's cool. I read this study and I start going back. I follow the trail and I go, okay, it's truth. And what's the most powerful way to truth? Well, you know, maybe the burning bush would be more powerful than self-talk. But I haven't seen burning bushes lately. So for me, it's self-talk. In other words, I take God's word and I claim it. I take it and I say, that's me. I am. God created me this way. And I flash back. 23 years old, I'm in Dad's Sunday school class, the Encouragers class. And from the front of the room, he used to ask three questions every Sunday morning. First one, how many of you had a great week this week? And everybody would raise their hand because they have to. It's Zig's class, right? How many of you had a great week this week by reading your Bible every day? Well, it's church, so you can't lie. At least back then you couldn't. So about 30% would raise their hands. And then he would ask the final question, how many of you had a great week this week with biblical self-talk, taking God's word, personalizing it to you? And then I realized, If I practice good biblical self-talk, that's going to lead to integrity, which creates trust, which allows me to build the relationships I want to be in my 90s happy and satisfied with my life. That's legacy, isn't it? See, Harvard validated what Dad knew all along. It's just that Harvard didn't take the time to tell you this is how that happens. Truth. Third step, physical. Any comments here? You're liking this. Yes, John.
Just want to throw this out there. What I do. Everyone's going to spend 10 to 30 minutes in the bathroom every morning. My Audible Bible audiobook plays for that entire 30 minutes every morning. I'm getting 30 minutes listening, going in my ear into the Bible. That's hundreds, couple hundred hours a year of just listening to good stuff. And you're going to be in the bathroom anyway. What else are you going to do?
Don't ask that question.
What else are you going
to
do?
Can't have any other thoughts on this? Dan.
November 18th, 1994. I'm very proud that I went willingly, not because courts, relatives, and wives and girlfriends were telling me, to an Alcoholics Anonymous convention all weekend in Everett, Washington. And that was when I had, that day, or the night before that, I guess, was the last time I had a drink. But I was a problem drinker and a pot smoker. So, and I don't go for all this stuff that pot's not a drug and all these people can start going to Colorado as tourists to sample all the legal stuff. You know, one of your colleagues who's delivered a keynote here said that when you're stoned, your IQ goes down 5 to 10 points. So why would you be okay with your kids doing that? You know, anyway, what I've done to stay clean and sober all those years, a lot of times, is that biblical self-talk. And just, you know, to override other negative thoughts too, one I really like is what Christ told Peter when Peter, said, you know, don't go to the cross. He said, get behind me, Satan. I don't know why he told Peter that, but that's something theologians discuss. But it works for me, right? When you get those temptations, sometimes just that sentence, get behind me, Satan. And, because I believe... There's a creator of this world, there's a savior of this world, but there's also a ruler of this world. And the Bible says that the ruler of this world is not God. In Job, it talks about Satan was cruising, the prince of the power of the earth was cruising the world looking for victims as a predator. So, you know, sometimes we have to call on God's help to overcome those temptations to eat that muffin at that conference, or
eat the muffin.
Right.
I love it.
Or to take that drink of wine. We were in Italy, as she boasted, and every waiter was like, saying, why don't you want to order wine? I had to learn to say in Italian, I don't drink alcohol. But also that self talk. I'm going to say that instead of saying, yeah, what the heck? I'm in Italy. No one's going to know. So I didn't do that.
Love it, Dan. All right. So he just demonstrated a principle that I want you to take note of, because it's what I watch my dad do. Negative thoughts will happen in our mind. They just pop up. Or flights get delayed. Or a customer order goes out wrong. I know that never happens to any of the people in the inner circle, right? Since we know what's going to happen, why don't we pre-plan our response to where it becomes a habit so that when it does happen, we kill it. We get the best result we can out of it. Right? So if we know the flight's going to be delayed, eventually, if we fly a lot, it's going to happen. So how do you prepare for that? You bring other things to do with you in your purse or your handbag or your briefcase. And you said in your mind, you know what? I'm going to look at it as an opportunity that I didn't have to get some more work done, to make some calls, to do some things. And then when it gets delayed and everybody's going, you know, ballistic, like it's going to change anything, we're over there smiling and dialing and having fun. Same thing when a negative thought gets into your head. If you have a scripture, if you have a saying, if you have something that you can recall to replace that thought with, that's going to get you further down the road. It's a simple thing. Well, how do you make that a reality? You make it a habit. You might put whatever it is that you want to put in your mind on a 3x5 card. And every time that negative thought comes up, you just pull that sucker out and you read it. That's what's known as replacing a bad habit with a good habit, which is the termite way. Third step here is physical. Now, you could also argue that physical could go on the first step of this. Now, the reason for that is when we get a physical result in our life, when we lose a little bit of weight, when we get in better shape, when we start sleeping the right amount, when we change our diet and it creates more energy for us, when we have more energy, we have more capacity to do everything else.
And we're more positive.
Right.
To be able to do it.
Now, the reason I didn't put physical first is because of January 1 New Year's resolutions. Because people go to the gym, they sign up, they work out for between 3 to 6 weeks, and then they give up. And the reason they give up isn't because they're not feeling better physically, it's because their mindset had never changed. And so when they go down the road a little bit, their reasons for not doing it got bigger than their reasons for doing it, and they didn't go that day. And it's like their body said, well, I didn't miss anything. That's why in the one thing that we just went through, it takes 66 days minimum to create a new habit. So if you're working on your mindset, putting in the right things mentally, and then the spiritual, maybe it's the quality of discipline, and then the physical, you're going to have a much better staying power at sticking to the physical decision. Rick.
As you get older, the word physical takes on a little bit different vein. That's right. But you know, as you get, I'm now past the 70 mark, and as a result, the physical speaks to me a little bit more. But I've had some pretty serious operations in my time. I've gone through some struggles physically in some areas. But to me, the thing that helped me more than the physical than anything else was the spiritual. Before I went in and had triple bypass surgery, heart surgery, I knew that before I even went, they put the gas on me to put me to sleep, that I was coming out of it. And I was going to be healthy. And because through prayer, God gave me a peace. He says, you're coming out of this, you're going to be better than you are right now. And that was 15 years ago, and still clicking. A lot of my buddies, unfortunately, the same thing, almost the same time, are not. But to me, having faith, knowing that God has a purpose for whatever's there, now, He didn't bring on the heart problem. That was my doing. But He gave me a peace about to trust in Him. So therefore, to me, that faith element. And I've seen men who did not have it, did not have a belief in God. They struggle. They're angry. I could give you a lot of other symptoms. But to me, Tom, that is the most thing. And I know, in fact, you send out a letter also or an email called faith all the time. To me, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And I want you, yeah. Now, here's something interesting, Rick. I don't know if you said it. You mentioned faith and belief in the same sentence. Now, here's an interesting thing. Sometimes we'll be walking through life with great faith, and usually it's right after we've hit the bottom and we've had to turn everything over, and we're like, why didn't I do this before? Bob Bodine's coming out with a new book. It's called Two Chairs. And in the Two Chairs book, and this is what I've done, this is the number one habit that I've put in my life that's changed where I am today versus, you know, even just 6 weeks ago, was rigorously sticking to this habit, is every morning, including this morning, because I had to turn that little chair in my hotel room. I got the lounge chair. God got the high chair. I figured he needed position. As I start off every morning with two chairs, one for me, one for God. And I make these three statements. God, you know my situation. You're big enough to handle it. And you have a good plan for me. What is it? And then I listen. The first 2.5 weeks that I really did this intently, intensely, you know what God told me the first 2.5 weeks? He told me I was sitting in his chair. He said, get out of my chair. So the belief and the faith, the reason we have the positive biblical self-talk, that input, that spiritual input every single day, is that solidifies our belief. Faith comes out of belief. God can deal with us in a loving and kind way when our faith goes up and down. When we have no belief, that's a problem. So make the habit of belief, and faith will be the fruit of that.
Tom, how long do you spend on that every morning?
It's a muscle. Do you know how hard it is to quiet yourself and listen? So it's probably not even 15 minutes. Rick.
I just want to add one thing to that. Probably it's even more important because I started listening to your father in 1974. And I had never heard a man so successful, could speak so good. And I was not a Christian. You could not get me near a church, all right? And your father kept talking about Christ in his talks. And here's a man who's a motivator, a speaker. And I'm like, why is he talking about that? I come here to hear about business. Here I can make more money. Here how I can be more successful. And he kept bringing the Lord into all the things that he taught. So finally, as a result of that, what he said, I said, there's got to be something behind this. I started going to a church. And in 1979, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. But your father is the first man that I could listen to that was in the same field that I adored and loved that had an impact on my life more than any other from what he taught. Great, great man.
So the quote for physical is, do it and you will feel motivated to do it. This is where discipline overrides, our thought overrides our emotion, I don't want to, and our body saying it hurts, right? Do it and you will feel motivated to do it. Thinking about something will not change an emotion, but action will. When you know it's a habit you need to do, right? If you do what you do when you need to do it, if you do what you need to do when you need to do it, the day will come you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. When you know that you need to do something and you do it, the fruit of that is incredible. So when it comes to the physical, we set our plan, we set our course, we make our commitment, and then we do it whether we feel like it or not. Now, everybody in here has had the same experience. You didn't want to work out, but you went anyway, and 10 minutes into it, you're like, you know what? This is pretty good. Isn't God awesome that way? All right. Next one, family. The words that I love for the family are influence and example. And I think, even though I put influence and example, influence and then example. Our influence is going to be positive if our example is positive. Our influence is going to be negative if our example is negative. When I think of example, it's walking out those first three. The mental, the spiritual, and the physical. Because our kids and our spouse and those that we love, that's really it, right? The example that we set. I mean, that's what I loved about Dad is I could ask him what I should do, but I didn't really have to. I saw what he did. If it's good enough for Dad, it's probably good enough for me. My brother-in-law had this quote. He said, my role as a husband is to create the environment that will allow my wife to be all that God created her to be. So ladies, you can flip it. My role as a wife is to create the environment that will allow my husband to be all that God created him to be. Example, influence. The more powerful our example is, the more influence we can have. Positive or negative. So what's the quote for family? If we could teach our kids one thing, it would be the discipline of creating winning habits. I threw discipline in there. Because man, oh man, it seems like discipline is the key in everything that we do. So what are winning habits we could teach our kids? Just throw some out. What are some winning habits that our kids should know?
Gratitude.
Pardon? Integrity. I love it. See, we've made the transition to character and values. That's a habit. It's true, it is. What else?
Honesty,
yes.
Hard work,
absolutely.
Discipline.
Loyalty. Reading. Did I hear reading? Leading? What was the word over here? I couldn't. Reading? Okay. Kindness and compassion. Did you know that when it comes to kindness and compassion and service, you know, you've heard of helicopter parents, you know, they do everything for their kids. You cannot teach service the way you teach it is by example, side by side, serving someone. So the families that go out and do the service projects for their kids, it's like, oh. Right? You learn service by doing it. What about goal setting? Is that a winning habit? Yeah. John.
Critical thinking.
Yes.
Don't believe it just because he said so.
The most dangerous train of thought that's taught in education today as far as that subject goes is that there is no absolute truth.
And it's the world's view.
That's right. So, Chris Dunham, one of our speakers, he's on the airplane. He's got his Bible out. This was after 9/11. So, Chris is from India. He's got dark skin. It's after 9/11. It's kind of a tense time. So, he started the practice of sitting in a seat and getting his Bible out. Put people at ease, right? Chris is pretty smart. And so he carries that forward. So he gets on the plane. He's got his Bible out. And this guy sits next to him, looks at him. He goes, "Are you one of those Christian Bible believers?" He goes, "Well, I don't know what you mean, but yes, I am a Christian and I believe this is God's word." Silence. About a minute later, the guy looks at him and he goes, "Well, I'm an attorney. I don't believe in any absolutes." Krish said, "Are you absolutely sure?" True story. Saying there are no absolutes is an absolute. It's called an argument that commits suicide, critical thinking. Yeah, that's right. We got to teach our kids self-worth. That's a winning discipline. Yes.
Self-care.
Pardon?
Self-care.
Self-care. It's hard to give something you don't have, isn't it? The next one is financial. It's kind of important. Anybody here so wealthy, you know, you never have to work another second in your life? Because if you are, let me know. I've got some ideas. Now, here's the thing about financial. The word that I associate with financial is dreams. And the reason I attach dreams to financial is because there are usually one of two places in people's lives where they really get their financial house in order. The first one is right after the shipwreck. After the house has burned down, after the business has gone bankrupt, you know, after there's not one penny to rub together, right? That's when most people put in that financial plan. That's when they discover Dave Ramsey. That's when they go, you know what? Maybe that budgeting thing and saving money and living on less than you spend and, you know, being wise in our decisions and not going into a lot of debt, maybe that's where we want it. That's no fun. Ask people who've been through that. It's no fun, is it? Then there's another place where people make financial plans for the future. It's when they have a dream that's so compelling that it makes sense to do everything necessary to make it a reality. And they start doing the financial planning. Work for a dream, not a paycheck. Dreams take time and money. Any dream worth having is going to take time and money. The better you do in your work, what's the result of that? More income, more commission, more promotions. All those things equal more money, which equals you get your dream faster. The next one is personal. It was kind of weird to me how personal finished up so far up the ladder. We're actually going through one of these once a week, every 7 weeks, in our Live to Win program. So we get to everything. It's the Wheel of Life. How many of you are familiar with the Wheel of Life? These spokes are right off the Wheel of Life. The wheel keeps on turning. So personal came a little bit later because we wanted to have the foundation. We wanted to have the ingredients of the right personal life. And the word that we associate with personal is goals. Because once we have the right input, our spiritual foundation is in the right course, we're getting in good physical shape, we're taking care of our family, and we have a financial goal or purpose, a dream that we want to do, then we can start setting the goals. Now, can you do this all in one day? Yeah, you can. You can put this whole plan together and go, this is what I'm going to work on. I'm going to implement the habits 1 week at a time like the termites do. But you can do this all in one day. But in the personal side in Live to Win, we actually do a full session on goal setting every 7 weeks. Why do we do that? Because you grow. You're a different person. When you start implementing new habits, getting rid of an old bad habit, replacing it with a new one, you do that on a weekly basis, you're a different person. So what's the quote for a goal? A goal properly set is halfway reached. The quick course on goal setting is this. Goal setters versus goal achievers. Goal achievers do three things. They write the goal down in detail. They work on it every day or as often as necessary. And they have an accountability partner. On our live Live to Win webcast that we do every week, I ask people, what are your goals? What's the habit you're going to put in play this week? What's the old one you're going to dump? People are saying it out loud. They're typing it in. And then I ask, how'd it go last week? Who's got a victory? I get to hear from Sylvie. It's like every week. It's like 2 more pounds. Right? It's awesome. The final step, the final spoke on the is career. Career is the engine. It's what allows us to make the money. It's what allows us to go to that next level. And in career, I have 3 words that we're familiar with in here. I've done this several times. Well, when your image improves, your performance improves. But the 3 words are attitude, effort, and skill. If you want to jumpstart your career, you've got to raise your performance. The performance formula is attitude times effort times skill equals performance. If somebody on your team is walking by and you want to do a quick evaluation of how they're doing, just ask yourself these 3 questions. Is their attitude positive and worth catching? Do I want all of my customers and all my team members to be exposed to that attitude? 2, is their effort off the charts? Are they doing so much they don't even care what the what second place is? They're just going and blowing. They're working smart. They're working hard. 3 is skill. Is that person a professional? Do they own their own skill level? Are they doing training on their own? Are they growing on their own? Make sense? Now we have the be, do, have, and give. When you look at this process, we've got to be before we can do. We've got to do before we can have. And we've got to have before we can give. And what is the anchor quote of this whole thing? The fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits. That's the fastest way. Yes?
I'd just like to share something that to the program. Going to the step, what I discovered, it's like what Socrates was saying, know yourself. When you go to the mental, the spiritual, the physical, there's something that happens. It's like, since I've been in a circle with that, you have your goals, you have your dreams, and you try to reach them, but going that route, you really discover more yourself, and your dreams sometimes can change to become significant. And I went through the process, and I use that step where my life is getting significant.
Oh.
So I just wanted to share that these steps, I don't know even if you realize that, is that it really brings something special to that. It's knowing more yourself and bring significance to your life. And it has no issue there. So that step is really the perfect step to go through
that. Love it. Thank you. How many of you would like to know how you could join the Live to Win 7 weeks? Okay. So I can't really top anything that Sylvie said or other people have said. So I'm just going to give you the ingredients and the special offer. So 7 weeks, we do a live webcast. Actually, it's a webinar on GoToMeeting. It's every Monday morning at 9 a.m. We record the session. If you're not there, we send it to you. It comes with an electronic workbook. Here are the pieces that come with it. An electronic workbook. You download the whole program right away, so you get the last 7 weeks that we've done. So if you want to start immediately and go to one of the modules, whether it's personal or career or family or spiritual, whatever, you can do that. You can go straight to that lesson. And I lead it live. And so every week it's different. Y'all, every week it's different. There's always something new. We're going through the same workbook, but we're adding new ingredients. And what I love, and I wish we got more of them, is the questions that we get from the group. Because people are growing and they're asking questions in a different way at different stages. Some of you have now, you're on your 3rd time through, right? So very powerful. Now it's a year-long program. So when you join, You're in for a year. So you can come every week for a year, as many times as you want, every week for a year. So it's a one-year program. If you added all that up, if you just took the hard copy, that would be $297. We also give a year of Ziegler On Demand. Now, Howard talked about that earlier, that you used to call it the Ziegler Vault. This is all of Dad's material. This is 60 hours of content. How to stay motivated, strategies for success, all the courtship after marriage, raising positive kids, secrets of closing the sale. So that mental input, I mean, if you did an hour a day a Zig, it'd be 2 months before you got through the whole thing. That's a lot of material. And we teach that you got to go through it 17 times before you really learn it. So that's what, 34 months? Yeah, one year is not enough. What I'm saying is there's a lot of material there. If you purchased all that at retail separately in hard copy, that's what the value is there. It's all based on the Wheel of Life. We do about 48 live sessions because we have Christmas and some vacation and holidays. I love the Q&A part. Anybody who sends me a question beforehand by email, you get my email address, I'll bring it up and handle that on the webinar itself. You start right away, 60 hours of content, weekly live webinars, accountability. This is proven. I mean, we don't have to wonder, will this work? I have a quote. It says, change starts with you, but it doesn't start until you do. This program will work if you work the program. So there's a responsibility there. But we get the feedback and the results every single time. We have a special price. Everything is $497. But today, the special offer is $297. And we have a bonus. For those of you who sign up today, we've already printed the manual. So this is the whole program, 103 pages in there that you go through each time. So if you want to go ahead and sign up today, you get this manual. The price will be good for today. And how many of you want to get a manual? So we've got a few. We've only got 10 of them here. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Awesome.
I'd like to say Howard said to me privately, can you imagine what would happen, Dan?
Hey, that was private. That was private. Dan?
Yeah, let Dan. Jonathan in the back needs one there, Tracy.
So Howard said to me, can you imagine what would happen if you actually did this? If you actually changed, you know, let go of a lot of bad habits and replace them with good habits. So it's been really exciting.
Good.
Sorry, Howard, I didn't know you were here.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
I said, can you imagine what would actually happen if you went through this every week for a year, and every week you let go of a bad habit and replace it with a good habit?
Hello?
You know, yesterday we had talked about building community with our employees and making that an experience. This, you can't pass up. If you really care about your employees and you want to help them reach their goals, take this program and teach them. And you're going to see a difference in them too. Right. So I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
It's great. Thank you for offering this.
Thank you. Now, we do, here's how it works. If one of you sign up, as long as it's somebody else is with you on the call and you're sharing Ziegler On Demand, more than one person can come under one of these memberships. We do have a business membership, which is $9.97. And for $9.97, you get five. And you get five people coming into Ziegler On Demand, and you also get five performance planners. So the performance planner is a bonus. So if you have employees or you have people at different locations and you want them all to have independent access, you can do that program. How much time do we have, Howard?
None,
okay. So let me just close with this. About a minute or so. Let me close with this. We have a few more of these manuals. I think we have two left. So you need one up. You've got one. Okay. So it's one. Yeah, we got two left up there. For those of you who are Ziegler certified trainers, or those of you who are interested, we are launching a new program at our recertification where you're going to be equipped to go out and give a keynote on Live to Win and offer the Live to Win webinar as one of your offerings. So for those of you who are like, well, what do these certified trainers do? This is one of the programs they're actually going to be equipped to go out and teach. I close the same way every time. My name is Tom Ziegler. I am the proud son of Zig Ziegler. It's been my honor and privilege to be here today with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, boss. We love Tom Ziegler, don't we? Yes, we do.
I've got one more, believe it or not.